He says, they're giving them up. They're giving up. The grave is opening and hell is opening. The soul is coming out of there and the body is coming out of the grave. Amen. He said they gave it up and they lifted up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell here are personified. Amen. It's where death and hell are represented as a person. It's like you call a person something, a name. Death and hell are personified. They are cast into the lake of fire. Won't hold you long. They were cast into the lake, death and hell. Death is through with his ministry. Your job was, because sin was in the world, since sin is not here, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians 15:26. And so death is no longer needed. We need death now, though, to get out of these bodies. I don't want to get stuck in this body if it ain't going to keep working, do you? You can pray all you want to for somebody to stay in these. A lot of these folks in the nursing home ready to get out of the nursing home. I went to a lady. She told me, she said, don't pray for me to stay here. I want you to quit that prayer. Change that prayer. I'm tired of this. And I agree. If the body's not going to get healed, you may as well leave it until God give you a new one. He's going to take it. He's going to recycle it. The truth is that they gave them up. And it said death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hades in the Greek for hell. Old Testament, Sheol, both same place, but Gehenna, south part of the city dump where they burned things, is another Greek word, Gehenna, the lake of fire, represents a place of eternal punishment, whereas hell, or what they know as Hades and Sheol, represents a temporary place that you're held. And so what happened is death and hell, for these unsaved people, were cast into the lake of fire. They went from, I said, Christians, we only die one time, but we're born again two times. We're born two times. We die one time, we're born two times. And that's what gets you into heaven. But the saved are just the opposite. They die two times, and they're only born one time. They born, they come into the world, and they die in sin, and therefore they're going to go to hell again. They're not only going to Hades, they're going to Gehenna. They call it the second death, death number two. I don't worry about death number one. That's the temporary one. It's that second death that's important. I can die one time, that's fine, but I'm not going to die two times. If I die one time, that's just a temporary death. Have I got a witness? Christians only die once, and that's called sleep. They don't die two times. They got saved at the church. They decided to let Jesus pay for their sins. So they won't die no twice. Death won't, matter of fact, death won't even be able to hold them the first time. I haven't got a witness here. Every grave has to give up that body. You know why? Because sin can't hold them down. Grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? So don't ever go to no Christian funeral sad. Now you're going to cry because we miss John. We miss people. We missed our loved ones. But don't ever go thinking that's the end. Don't ever get that in your mind. They thought it was the end of Jesus. We all know what happened. And it won't be the end of us, because we are born twice. We only die once, and we'll sleep when we do it that time. It's the second death. Now he said this is the second death. Oh, Lord. These unsaved folk at the white throne judgment, we're going to be at the Bema seat. That's in 2 Corinthians 10. But the white throne judgment, these folk, oh my, death and hell just going to empty the grave, take the bodies out, and take the soul out, and throw them into hell forever to be separated from God. They chose it. God didn't. So we're not going to get into why. But the truth of the matter is, a lake of fire. Now, my brothers and sisters, what we need to understand is that God writes books. And I could talk about, amen, I could talk about the fact. Now that's why we got to stay on our P's and Q's, by the way. Because their records being kept. And the dead people are going to be judged. And what they're going to find out is that there was not one thing they could do that earned them a seat in heaven. Now, what the Christians have to find out is that you need to stay on your P's and Q's, because you're going to be judged not according to your salvation, but according to your service. Not according to your birth, but according to your behavior. Not according to whether you've been forgiven by God, but you are going to be judged according to your faithfulness to God. How faithful am I to God? And the truth of the matter is that, amen, we could deal with the role, the rewards, and the relationships. We already talked about what's white, what's right, and what fight. Amen. When we talk about Cain, what fight? It was not a fight. He hit Abel, and Abel hit the ground. It wasn't no fight. What's right is when he's going to judge you for your services that are right. He said, because I'm going to pay you for whatever's right, I'll pay. What's white? The throne is white. The fact of the matter is that is the great white throne which we cannot afford to stand before unless Jesus has made us pure and washed us. So we want to focus mainly on this citizenship, stewardship, and I changed it to ownership. And the truth of the matter is that the earth and heaven are going to pass away. And the present assumed heaven and earth, some people wonder if the earth is going to be completely destroyed. But J.B. Smith offers a rather astounding conclusion that the language employed does not signify the vanishing of the former heaven and earth into nothing, and offers 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he speaks of it just like the body. The body won't be annihilated. The body won't be eliminated. The body is going to be restored. Amen. We separated and God restores the body, and the same thing is going to happen to the earth, as he's talking about in Romans 8:19-23, where he talks about how the flowers and the earth is waiting for the whole creation is waiting for the redemption from heaven. Paradise lost, the earth, the planets, the animals, or will be restored. Amen. And paradise, he's not going to wipe it out. He's going to restore it. As Christians, we get changed, but we're in the same body. But we get a new body that looks like this body at its optimum. Amen. And not in its worst, but it is optimum. And he goes on to talk about that. He says it offers no evidence of whatsoever the destruction of the present earth and heaven. So there are different views and thoughts on this. Amen. When the earth is going to be burned up with fervent heat, the elements are going to melt, but God is going to restore it. J.B. Phillips says he doubts whether or not God is going to replace it, but he's going to restore it. So there must be citizenship. Amen. You must have your name on the roll. The Holy Spirit must be resident in your heart. Amen. Because NLT says whoever name was not found written. So first we talk about the citizenship. Then we talk about the stewardship. And then we talk, if I can wait, amen, about ownership. Well, the fact of the matter is, thank you, Brother Freeman, the truth is that if your name has got to be written. You know, there's a lot of folk that know God that he didn't know them. Now, when I know your name, that gets personal. You know God, but he may not know you. Matthew 7:23 talks about that awful day when they meet with God and meet before God. And he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we? He says that, have we not cast out devils? Have we not raised the dead? Have we done many wonderful works? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, you knew me, but I didn't know you. You got a relationship must be reciprocal. You must know God. God must know you. I know God. Good. But does God know you? I know Biden. I know President Biden. But he doesn't know me, does he? I know the president. But the truth of the matter is, a relationship is reciprocal. It's you and me. Does God know you? I know you know God. Now, this indicates that a change has occurred. Whosoever name was not found written. That means some business has transacted. He has taken residence now in your heart. Even now, God not only gives us a name, we need to have transacted business with God. Because God gives each star a name and a number. Psalm 147:4 tells us that God telleth the number of stars. Now, you look at the stars, you say, I can't see how many of them there are. The Bible says God knows exactly how many stars there are in Psalm 147:4. And he has assigned each one of them a name. Each individual star a name. Y'all don't like to have church. I need to get on out of here. Amen. I'm up here by myself. God, this is God's universe. And he has assigned it a name. God has assigned it a name. And the truth of the matter is that there must be citizenship. You must be a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. Have I got a witness? Amen. Your name. I don't know where your name is, but you need to make sure God knows your name and that your name is recorded in the book of life. Don't go to church all your life and go to hell when it's over. And you know what? You ought to know now if your name is in there. You know, you said, well, did God send me a memo? Well, the Holy Spirit, each person in here, if you don't know, I wish I had, each person in here has to know right now that you're saved. If you don't think you are, you better get the truck and you better get something fixed before you die. Amen. You better do something about it. You got some business. You got some business you need to transact. You got some spiritual business you need to take care of. Ever got a witness? Because I'm getting my name in the book of life. Whosoever name wasn't found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And the fact is that this residence is that the Holy Spirit, I have a new home. I don't live here no more. I live up there. I'm just down here. This world is not my home. Did you see, we sing a lot about this stuff, but we don't understand that it's really biblical. Well, I wouldn't let the choir sing it. I've had folk get mad and get out the choir because I said, we ain't singing that song no more. But those other songs that are good, those songs are telling the truth. They said, this world is, I'm just a pilgrim traveling through this barren land. I live up there. He says, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Well, the fact of the matter is, let me hear up. I want to get through with this, so I won't have to repeat it. The truth is that he says, I like the way Eugene Peterson puts this. Well, let me go over this first, what Dr. Walvoord, he said, the opening of the books before God alludes to Daniel 7:10. Many early Jewish texts refer to heavenly tablets containing records of human history or God's laws, angels, and continually writings down people's sin. Angels were recording these in the books for the day of judgment. The opening of the books meant that everything was about to be made known. The final judgment would be public judgment. There would be no way of hiding one's naked shame. Amen. It will be public judgment. You want to know why we ask you to come forward? You know, you can't be ashamed of God because he's not going to be ashamed of you. Judgment is public. Works are the unmistakable evidences of the loyalty of our hearts. And if you didn't accept Jesus Christ, then that meant that you didn't say what was in your heart. The basis for this judgment is declared in verse 15, to whether their names were found written in the book of life. The phrase, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, connotes, or is an extended definition, of the careful search of the record to be sure no mistakes were made. He said, let me look at the books. This person comes before God. God said, pass me the books. Let me look in there and give me the book of life. Let me see if his name is in there. I see where he was at church. He even stood up and clapped. No decision was made, though. And there's an empty space. He was right at the door of getting saved. You ever bought a used car and didn't get the warranty? He said, hot dog. They told me this car had these many miles on it. All you had to do was get the warranty, but you didn't get it. You got up, you bought the car without the warranty. Now you got to pay. Well, he said, we're going to look at him and make sure ain't no mistake. I'm going to go over the record. I ain't going to send him to hell. I'm going to go over the record and make sure today. I'm going to shorten this. I'm going to have to go with it. Amen. The truth of the matter, Moffat says it this way. Whosoever not found enrolled in the book of life. Amen. You got to get enrolled. You know how when somebody wants you to do something, they say, we want you to get enrolled. You got to go to school. Amen. You got to matriculate. You got to sign up. Have we got a witness? And a lot of people get excited about what God is doing through their life. And Jesus even told his disciples one day in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, I believe, he says, the disciples came back and said, you know what? We cast out devils and done this and we done all of that. He said, Lord, we're excited when these 70 that came back. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because you were able to cast out spirits in Luke 10:20. But he said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Don't waste your time at church if your name ain't written in heaven. The truth of the matter is that God says that he wants to sign you up this morning. Are you signing up for the Christian Jubilee? Is it right my name on the roll? I've been changed since the Lord has lifted me. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Amen. He said, I've been changed. Now notice the words and the lyrics of the song. Sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. Write my name on the road. Now notice what he says. I've been changed since the Lord has lifted me. See, a lot of folk in church, they haven't been changed. The Holy Spirit hadn't come in. They don't have that joy, unspeakable, full of glory. They don't have that makes them wave their hand even when the bills are not paid and even when their health is not where it ought to be. They don't have a song in the night where they wake up singing, I know the Lord will make a way somehow when beneath the cross I bow. Amen. He will take away your sorrow. Let him have your burden now. They don't have amazing grace. How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. God is able. I want to tell you the story about when they took me to the ER, amen, for my COVID. They didn't take me, I went. We drove in. Amen. I'll say that for next week. But the truth of the matter is, you want me to tell it? Don't push me now. Don't push me, because I want to tell it anyway. I'm just trying to, I say, 11:30. Don't push me. Amen. I think y'all done pushed me already. Amen. The truth of the matter is, I'm stubborn. I don't like taking medicine. So I'm just going to tough it out. I'm not going to be putting all this stuff in my body unless it's organic, unless it's whole food. I'm not buying it. Long story short, amen. And so when I'm about to cough my insides out, I said, well, I guess I better. My wife said, yeah, we got to go. It's about midnight and around 1. But we're going to go on into this emergency room. Oh, you have to take this medicine. Okay, I went ahead and took the medicine. Interesting thing was, they told me, they said, well, we want to send you a survey. We want to send a survey about how your experience went here at Seton. We want to make sure you were happy. Did the staff treat you right? Was the place clean? Were the people competent who were trying to help you? You know, everything that everybody want, you know. In other words, what they're doing is holding them accountable. So they passed all the surveys with flying colors. But it made me think about the Lord put on my heart. He said, same thing with the church. Since you became a Christian, have you been held accountable about how you treat other folk? If a survey is sent in on you, because just like you got bad cops, you got bad Christians. You can't tell them nothing. They do what they want to do. They come and go as they please. They're snobbish. They have attitudes. They will curse you out. They do sign language. And the truth of the matter is, but if a survey was sent out on you, what would you say your experience was like dealing with some of these Christians? In working in his church, working with folk, are they holding themselves accountable? What would be said? Have you ever experienced there's some bad apples in the church, and they keep a lot of folk out of church. A lot of folk right now don't go back to church because of some folk in church. Sometimes it's because of the preacher. Sometimes this or that. But if God were to do a survey, I put it up there, but I ain't going to get to it. Y'all forcing me. I'm going to stop. Amen. I'm going to stop. But it's up there somewhere, I think. Amen. The truth of the matter is, y'all see how far behind I am? I'm just, y'all missing out on a lot of good food I don't study for. But what has your experience been like? I've experienced some genuine Christians. They don't give you no trouble. They don't cause no division. They don't cause trouble because they got Jesus. They win people to Christ. They're pleasant to work with. And the fact of the matter is, a survey needs to be sent out on us to see what kind of church are you all? What kind of Christians have I encountered? Have I made people want to become? And a lot of folks, you know, they really not saved because you don't ever see them winning nobody else to Christ. There's never no fruit hanging off their lives. Amen. And you have to just really apologize sometimes for the church. But the fact of the matter is that the church has bad apples. It don't mean you characterize the whole church, because I've ran up on some good Christians who love the Lord. They won't cause you any harm. They are like a breath of fresh air. I wish you would encounter one whenever you run up on a real Christian, a genuine Christian. They make you want to believe in Jesus. They bring you closer to Christ. They leave you feeling better. You can trust them. They don't stab you in the back. They don't put your name in the highway. They don't drag your name in the mud. They don't talk about you. I wish I had a witness. And belittle you. The Christian experience that we need to know about is one that will make them feel like what Jesus made them feel like. Jesus held us accountable, but he said, go and sin no more. But he said, put down your rocks. We're not going to stone these sisters. We're not going to stone these brothers. I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. There are some bad apples, my brothers and sisters. And we have to get to those next week, I think. Most folk think about here, but they don't think about later. All they think about is the here and now. That's all they think about. They don't care about how they treat people. They go to church with Christ's name, and they don't think about later. They just think about right now. There are some folk that will cut your throat. They're in church. You wonder, how could they do that? They're not thinking about later. I want to give you this candy that'll make you think about later. Amen. I don't like the candy, but I like what it said. Amen. And they're going to give you some candy. Amen. So you won't forget. It said now and, that conjunction and. Now and later. Amen. You just can't think about now. There are folks that'll cut your throat to climb the Christian ladder. They will do what God said they shouldn't do because all they think about is right now. All they think about is getting ahead. You wonder if they even saved. How could you do that to another Christian? I'm not thinking about judgment is coming. Oh, I don't want to hear about judgment. All I'm thinking about is now. That's all I'm thinking about is now. All I want to know about is now. All I want to think about is now. That's all. And the truth of the matter is, that's all I'm concerned about. I know what the church says. I know what the Bible says. I know what God says, but I ain't going to do none of it. I just sit in church, and I don't obey nothing it says. I didn't go with the mouse, the spouse in the house. But the truth of the matter is, spouses say here and now, I pledge. But then again, I don't trust you no more than I can see you. Amen. It shouldn't be that way, amen. Because when they can't trust you no more than I can see you, all it is that you think about is here and now. But it has to be now and later. And this candy going to let you remember that. Throw the candy away. I don't really like candy. I don't eat it. I just like what it says. Now and later. Whenever you treat a Christian, how you act at church, how you act toward another Christian, how you hold your office, how you love your family, how you treat people. Some folk will get in front of other people. According to John chapter 12, verse 43, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I didn't get all this on Sister Essie, but we get it on the website, and I'm going to start just putting stuff. I ain't going to be able to finish these sermons. I say I'm going to quit trying to finish them. I'm just going to post the paper on the work, and you can read it when you get home. But the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, you got to remember later. Can everybody shout later? Later. Not just now, later. Later. We going to court. We didn't get to it this morning, but you need to think we're going to court for your deaconship, for your pastorship, for your membership, for your ushership, for your choir membership. You think God is letting all us get away? No. We ain't going to answer to the preacher. You're going to answer to God. I ain't going to be here that long. The truth of the matter is, God, he's just waiting. You just come walk right on in court. You're going to have to answer to God for your marriage, how you treat each other. You're going to have to answer for that. And I didn't get to it this morning because y'all pushed me past the sermon. So y'all want to go. So let's go then. Amen. But you need to get some candy before you leave and read the label. Don't just eat the candy. The truth of the matter is you have to do more than believe. You have to receive. And this morning, I want to know, have you received Jesus? We're going to do the baptism and the baby dedication and all that. We ain't got to it yet. Amen. God says, is your name written in the book? Ask your neighbor, is your name written in the book? Now, don't make no mistake and don't get the warranty, all right? Amen. You got to think about now. I got to live today, but then I'm going to spend eternity somewhere. And Father, I thank you now while they stand. Father, I thank you for not only believing in you, but I thank you for changing me. We know that if they heterosexual, the homosexual, the liar, the backbiter ever receive you, then they will be changed. No one is perfect, but Jesus was. And he's made it possible for all of us to be considered perfect in his sight. When I receive his Holy Spirit, it changes my life. And I become a pleasant Christian, one that people really don't grudge being around. Make us better.